Welcome back to Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. With me is Sharad Kutan. Let's continue our look at the fine print of the emergency ordinance, which has now been officially gazetted. Joining us on the line now, we have Lim Wei Jet. He's the Secretary General of the National Human Rights Society, or better known as HACAM. Wei Jet, good evening. Now, I'm going to begin by asking you a very simple question, but one that's been on my mind the past couple of days. Wei Jet, is it treasonous to question this emergency?
No, certainly not, because under our constitutional framework, we are a constitutional monarchy. And I believe that under our constitution, whenever the Prime Minister advises the Yang Deputan Agong that an emergency is necessary in Malaysia, then really the Yang Deputan Agong doesn't really have much of a discretion. So in effect, it is a decision of the Prime Minister and the Cabinet to declare the emergency. The proclamations of emergency may be issued under the name of His Majesty, but in actual reality and fact, it is the executive decision, and hence it is not treasonous, in my view, to question the legitimacy of this emergency declaration.
Were the waters muddied somewhat in October when the Prime Minister went to see the monarch but didn't get that emergency declaration? And at that point, it seemed like the monarch was exercising some rights under the constitution, protecting what he believed was the national interest. So where do we go from here between this idea that it's all the executive, or in some sense, you know, this is some grey areas involved?
Yeah, it is indeed a grey area. I mean, there are two schools of thought, even among constitutional lawyers and academics. So what happened in October was that, you know, like you rightly pointed out, the Yang Deputan Agong rejected the application for an emergency. But I would still maintain, and I'm one of the persons in the school of thought believes that we are living in the constitutional monarchy, and under our constitutional framework, the executive advises the Yang Deputan Agong, and the Yang Deputan Agong has to accept that particular advice, even in the cases of emergency.
Okay, well, Wei Jet, I'm sure you've gone through the provisions of the emergency ordinance that's now been gazetted. And I'm wondering, do these powers, in your opinion, go beyond what is required to control the pandemic?
Definitely. So under the emergency proclamations, Parliament is suspended on the 1st of August. Now, Parliament is an important check and balance towards any actions of executive. So it remains to be seen why Parliament, as an important arm of government, has to be suspended during this period. And Parliament is also important because under our constitution, the executive is supposed to table the proclamation of emergency in Parliament, and Parliament has the power to annul that proclamation of emergency. So Parliament is in a catch-22 situation here. They can't convene to annul that particular, they can't try to annul that proclamation of emergency. So there goes the check and balance towards the executive. Even in the cases of the judiciary, while largely the judiciary is untouched, but as Philip pointed out just now, your right to property is now being assaulted, so to speak. And normally the assessment for the amount of compensation is done by the courts. Now it's been taken away to a person appointed by the Yang Deputan Agong. We don't know who that particular individual is, but the point being that we see glimpses of how the executive is slowly taking away the powers of the legislature and the judiciary, and concentrating power exclusively to the Prime Minister and Cabinet here. So I would say it's a sledgehammer to kill a mosquito. You don't really need to have this amount of powers to tackle the pandemic. There's nothing that cannot be done through the Prevention and Control of Infectious Diseases Act that warrants an emergency in this particular instance.
Wei Jet, you know, the leader of the federal opposition, Anwar Ibrahim, has called on MPs to write directly to the King and to plead for him to rescind the emergency. Now, is this extraordinary? I mean, would it be, kind of constitutionally speaking, correct for MPs to ask for the intercession of the monarch in this matter?
But I would think eventually it has to be the Prime Minister and Cabinet to advise Yang Deputan Agong. And I think that what the leader of opposition is attempting is to gain some kind of public momentum support to pressure the powers that be to advise Yang Deputan Agong to shorten or to annul the proclamation of emergency. And I don't see anything that is wrong in that particular move.
Okay. I want to ask you about the duration of an emergency. Is an emergency, is a state of an emergency indefinite? Because in this emergency ordinance, there seems to be no expiry date. Nothing was given in terms of when this ordinance could end. So how easily can we get out of this state of emergency? I understand there's going to be an independent committee that's going to be put together, but we know nothing about who's going to be on this committee.
Well, I believe the Prime Minister announced that the emergency will extend until the 1st of August 2021. As to that particular independent committee, like what Philip says, it remains to be seen whether it will be truly bipartisan and whether the amount of opposition MPs on that particular committee will be equal to the amount of government MPs. So you are right in the sense that theoretically, the Prime Minister and Cabinet can advise the Prime Minister to extend emergency for an indefinite period of time, but that would surely be detrimental to democracy in Malaysia in general. And we don't know.
Widget, Widget, what are your main concerns? I mean, are your concerns largely hypothetical, you know, theoretical? These are possibilities. Should we just be calm and accept that this government is going to do the best by these laws to deal with the pandemic and be satisfied with that?
No, the harms are not theoretical. Even as we speak now, Parliament is suspended until possibly August. There's no checks and balances to executive. There may be abuses of power that cannot be checked upon by Parliament. Your right to property is being taken away, and that is entrenched under Article 30 of the Constitution. That has been diluted. So we are seeing real, practical, negative consequences of democracy and human rights in Malaysia as we speak, and we do not know whether that political trend will continue. And it looks like it will continue in the foreseeable future.
Right. Widget, always a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you for your time tonight. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll come back and have more for you on Consider This. Stay tuned.